Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
All right, welcome back to the program. We are back with more Bucket Strategy Investing. Obviously, you got the music, you got the hosts, it's all put together. So be prepared to experience what I think is more, the best in money advice. This is what we do on this show every single day. The Brain Trust here in the form of Professor Rick Plum, who joins me, Johnny Dean, this hour from Lucia Capital Group. It's a jam-packed hour, but of course, you can take part in the program simply by giving us a call right now. We've got lines open. Every line is open right now. We will answer all of your money questions, but you do have to initiate the process. And how do you do that? Well, you give us a call at 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. I said we got all the lines open right now, and I meant it. So folks hung up there during the news. So take advantage of the opportunity. You can also go to wealthed.com, send us an email there, an email question, comment, whatever it is. Just look for the link where it says find your answer, and we will get your email right here in the studio. Professor Rick Plum, certified financial planner, here from Lucia Capital Group. I should remind you to be sure to take full advantage of what we offer to you on this show. I mean, you can listen and watch and learn, which is all wonderful, but the Brain Trust, of course, is also standing by, ready to help you out. So get all of your money questions answered. If you have an off-air issue, whatever, you'd like to speak with a person in person with a Brain Trust advisor about your money or your strategy, you want to know if you can get there from here, whatever, you can call Professor Plum or anyone at Lucia Capital Group, the Brain Trust, at 800-644-1150. Have them look at what you have. They'll design a bucket strategy that's specifically tailored to meet your needs. Again, it's 800-644-1150. So, on the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. A lot of stuff to talk about. Now, last hour, if you happen to tune in, we were talking about required minimum distributions, some of the just some of the basics that go along with required minimum distributions. We had some phone calls, so we didn't get to everything that we wanted to talk about. So I will just sort of throw in a couple of things here, Professor Rick Plum. Required minimum distributions for owners, you have any retirement account, any tax-deferred retirement account, will have at some point a required minimum distribution.
And it's different if you're retired or if you're working and the company you're working for and you don't own has a retirement plan. Then you have a different leeway.
Yeah, let's say you do. Let's say the only thing you have is a 401k. You don't have any IRAs.
At your current employer's job.
Yes, you've been working your job diligently, and you've got a nice 401k, and maybe you got a pension, so you don't really have any other IRAs. The only retirement account you have is your 401k. You hit age 70 and a half, you're still working for them. What happens?
Do you own 5% of the company or more?
Nope, just a regular old, assembly line worker, whatever.
Assembly line worker at 70 and a half. Okay, good. If you are an employee of a company that has a retirement plan at work, and you don't own 5% or more of that employer, you do not have to take a required minimum distribution from that employer's plan until you actually retire. So if you want to keep working until 73, 74, 75, whatever the case may be, you don't have a required minimum distribution from that employer's plan until you actually terminate employment. Now, if you have other company plans from previous employers, or if you have IRAs, those still have required minimum distributions in the year you turn 70 and a half or later, but the one company that you're working for that you don't own, that one, you don't have to take a required minimum distribution.
Yeah, in fact, you can keep adding to it just as you've always done.
Well, even if you own it, let's say it's my 401k, my company, and I have to take a required minimum distribution, I can still add to it. It's just that I've got the required minimum distribution each year. So if, let's say I have a $100,000 balance, my required minimum distribution at 70 is, you know, just shy of $4,000. But I can put $24,000 into it as an employee. Mm-hmm. So my net effect is I'm putting in $20,000. I'm still deferring some taxation on that plan.
Yeah.
Even though I had to take it because I owned the company, I owned at least 5% of the company, so I can't postpone my RMD, but I can't contribute to a traditional IRA anymore, but I can contribute to a company, an employer-sponsored plan.
Yeah, which is why I brought that up, because once you hit age 70 and a half, you are no longer allowed to contribute to a traditional deductible IRA.
Right, or non-deductible IRA.
Well, that's true. I don't know why. Yeah, it's both. It's any IRA.
Well, any traditional IRA.
Yeah, not
I can contribute to a Roth at any age.
If you're working.
As long as I'm working. First thing, get a job.
Well, first thing, get a job that pays at least what you want to put into the Roth IRA.
But yes, you can contribute, assuming you're also not making too much because your adjusted gross income is too high.
That's the trouble. I bring this stuff up with you, man. There are too many different...
A lot of people do get confused, though. If you are working and you are not the owner of the company, when is your first required minimum distribution? When does it have to be made by? When do you have to take that money out of the plan? And it has to do with, when do you quit? When do you terminate employment? And they're basically looking at, what is your employment status at the end of the year? If your employment status, if you are not an active employee at the end of the year, then that is your first year for a required minimum distribution from that plan. And that first year, we can potentially postpone. Just like the first RMD we have from our IRA, we can postpone to the first quarter of next year. The first RMD from a 403B, 401K, company-sponsored plan that I have not had to take a required minimum distribution from because I've been working and I don't own 5% or more. My first required minimum distribution is for the year I terminate, but I have until April 1st of the following year to do it. Of course, I also have another one that following year too, the next year's required minimum distribution. But hey, if I was working that whole year, I may want to postpone taking the required minimum distribution.
For tax purposes.
Just because I may have more income this year than I'm expecting to have next year. So we have to look at what's going on. If you're still working, you have a company-sponsored plan,
mm-hmm.
That one plan, not all the plans in your name.
Only that plan.
Just that plan.
Yeah, so if you happen to retire December 20th or something like that, you can postpone
till April 1st.
Till April 1st, taking a distribution. Now,
if you're looking to retire December 20th, ask your employer to maintain you as an active employee until January 2nd.
It'll give you a little more...
Then you don't have a required minimum distribution for this year because your employment status was active employment on the end of the year.
Although, if you did, let's say you had $100,000 in your IRA and in your 401k and somewhere along the line you happen to just withdraw, $4,000 out of it earlier in the year.
Whatever.
I mean, that would count.
If you quit before the end of the year.
That's what I mean. So if you quit by December, whatever.
Before December 31st.
Yes. That will count even though you took it out way back when.
It's the distribution during the tax year.
Right.
And for an individual, exactly. The calendar year and the tax year are the same thing.
877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. So that's what happens if you're still working after age 70 and a half. Now, I want to get into, just for a little bit, beneficiaries.
Bennies.
Of IRAs, 401ks.
And luckily, they have the same rules now. Before, there was some mm-hmm. problems with transferring a 401k to the beneficiary or being able to stretch it out and do some other things. But now we've pretty much got parity across all the plans.
All right, so let's just talk about 401ks for just a moment. You have a 401k. It's got a lot of money in it. You've been, let's say you're over 70 and a half, and you've been taking money out of it. You have an RMD on that, and then you pass away. Now, you can go, the 401k would normally go to your spouse.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they said no.
Unless you're not married.
Right. And now, if you're not married and it goes to somebody other than your spouse, let's talk about what happens with the required minimum distribution.
Well, there's two categories of beneficiaries for required minimum distribution purposes. A current spousal beneficiary has one set of rules, and everybody else has another set of rules. So is it a current spouse or not? And then we can look at it from there. A current spouse has a lot more flexibility in what they can do with an IRA or a 401k that they're inheriting as compared to a non-current spouse beneficiary. The current spouse can transfer it into their own name as if it was their money, their IRA, from day one. And it's their account. That has a lot to do with creditor protection, too, because you are creditor-proof on your own account, but inherited IRAs don't have creditor protection. Now, a current spouse can postpone taking a required distribution from the plan, if we leave it in the deceased person's name, until that person would have been 70 and a half. This is something that we really need to consider when the surviving spouse is under 59 and a half. Because if this surviving spouse is under 59 and a half and they roll the money into their name, it's their IRA, along with all the rules that go along with their IRA, including the inability to get to the money until 59 and a half, even though the person where you got it from was dead. If we left it in the deceased spouse's name, and we just we changed the idea that we have control over it, we don't have to take a required minimum distribution from that account until that deceased individual would have been age 70 and a half. And in most cases, that's long enough to get the surviving spouse to 59 and a half. Now, if you're the surviving spouse and you're 59 and a half or older, there's only a very small set of reasons why you wouldn't put it into your own name. One of those is that your late spouse was a lot younger than you. Remember, you don't have to take an RMD until they would have been 70 and a half.
Yeah.
If they're a lot younger than you, that postpones the RMD for a while.
And the other one?
I can't think of it.
Okay. Well, we'll think of it and come back during the break. All right. 877-PLANNER, 877-PLANNER. Also, how do our required minimum distributions affect, say, taxation? We haven't even gotten to the Social Security part, how it could affect your Social Security. All right. 877-PLANNER. You've got questions. We've got answers. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls. Don't go away.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
If you were born on or after January 2nd, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations, and restrictions by calling the Social Security hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2nd, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast and it's easy to use, designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. and we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
QL1, does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
That is fast, like rocket fast.
It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3.
PLANNER, PLANNER. We got some room on the phones. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your money and retirement, et cetera, et cetera. We will get to some more of your emails coming up in just a little bit. And if you've got money questions you want to get answered right away, you give us a call right now. Lines open, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Okay, so we will sort of try to wrap this up a little bit on required minimum distributions. But what we just another aspect of this that we haven't gotten into is non-spouse beneficiaries of, let's say, IRAs, 401ks, et cetera.
Now, non-spouse beneficiaries do have required minimum distributions. And those required minimum distributions usually start the year after the year the person died. Now, there's not a 10% penalty because it's not their account and the owner of the account died. They're just the beneficiary of it. So if they're taking it, if they inherit it when they're 30, 40, 50, it doesn't matter, any age before 50 and a half, and they're taking money out of an inherited IRA, there's no penalty. It is still taxable, obviously, but it is not penalized because the owner has passed away. That's a difference between the spouse that rolls it over into their own name, because now the spouse is treated as if they were the owner, not just the beneficiary at this point. They're the owner of the account. Mm-hmm. You are the beneficiary of the account. You have, for a traditional IRA, 401k, and things of that nature, you have basically two sets of rules depending upon how old the person was when they passed away. If the person was under required minimum distribution age, meaning they did not make it into the year that they were going to reach age 70 and a half, well, we have two sets of rules to deal with when it comes to the required minimum distribution. If you start taking the required minimum distribution based on your life expectancy as of the year after the year the person died, you can stretch out that required minimum distribution over your life expectancy. If you do not start taking required minimum distributions out within the year after the year the person died, then you've got a 5-year time horizon. Now, that's only, that 5-year time horizon is only available on the traditional accounts for somebody who passed away before they were at required minimum distribution year. So if I'm required minimum distribution year or older, my heirs don't have that 5-year clock anymore. The required minimum distribution for the beneficiaries of somebody who was at required minimum distribution age is that they must take it out at least as fast as the owner was doing it, or they can reset it to their life expectancy, as long as they reset it by the year after the year of death. So you just have to remember that, unfortunately, yes, you're grieving, you're going through a hard time trying to figure out what's going on. Don't forget the required minimum distribution. It has to be taken by December 31st of the year following the year of death if you want to stretch it out. Now, with beneficiaries, a lot of times they will start taking money out the year after the year of death.
With every intention of going on
stretching
until,
it out.
Yeah.
But, and then they realize that the M in that RMD is minimum. I only have to hit the minimums, but there's no maximum. I can take out more? Oh, yeah, give me more. I want more.
There isn't a required maximum contribution.
Yeah, they end up taking it out quicker. Now, how do you structure these types of accounts into your portfolio or into your plan? Well, it depends on how old you are. For people that are retired that are inheriting it from much older parents, they make a great bucket number one because you've got to draw it down anyway. So we like seeing that money drawn down before the owner, the beneficiary, turns 70 and has a required minimum distribution from their own account. They're different styles. They're different now. They're different math calculations. Similar calculations, different denominator. So we've got, you have a much larger required minimum distribution on an inherited IRA than you have on your own.
Okay, now let's talk for a second about that. What we're talking about are traditional IRAs. We're talking about 401ks, retirement plans. If you own a Roth IRA, first of all, for the owner of the Roth IRA, once you hit 70 and a half, doesn't matter.
There is no required minimum distribution for the owner of a Roth IRA. And so if I die and I leave it to my spouse, she rolls it into her name. She's the owner of it. She does not have a required minimum distribution on, now, her Roth IRA. But assuming she doesn't get remarried and, you know, sometime in the future she passes away too, she leaves it to hopefully our three kids, and they will have a required minimum distribution on that account, on that Roth IRA. And some people are like, wait a minute, Roth IRAs don't have required minimum distributions. They don't for the owner, but for a beneficiary, they do. And the rules are pretty much identical to the rules for a traditional IRA. If you want to stretch it out, you know, it's tax-free probably because it's probably been more than 5 years since the owner started the Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a tax-free distribution, but we like the idea of having tax-free growth as much as possible. So in many cases, we want to leave as much money in the Roth IRA as possible, and that's why the government says you have a required minimum distribution. We want to get that money out of that tax-free status, and we want you to take it out. So there is a required minimum distribution for the beneficiary, non-spouse beneficiary of a Roth IRA. And it works just like the required minimum distribution for a non-spouse beneficiary of a traditional IRA. You got to start taking it. Now, the difference, the only difference is that we maintain the five-year rule on a Roth IRA regardless of how old the person was that died. So we can do it all within 5 years, or we can do it, you know, start stretching it in the first year after death. But most people should look at potentially stretching it, unless it's, you know, $2,000, then it's difficult to stretch that. But
you're talking about the traditional or the Roth?
The Roth.
Now? The Roth.
Well, on the traditional too. I mean, if it's $2,000, I'm not going to stretch it either.
Well, no, it's not enough. But if it's $100,000 or
I'm probably going to want to stretch it a little bit.
Now, okay, so we had this
and
question.
Whether I stretch it on my life expectancy or I stretch it out over 7, 8, 9 years. That depends on how much can I take out without adversely affecting my current income tax situation.
Well, and that's the point. That's exactly the point. If you have a traditional IRA or 401k, something that is taxable to you upon receipt, upon, you know, taking the money out, distribution, I could see where perhaps you want to play that game. But I mean, a Roth IRA, if I inherited a $200,000 or so Roth IRA, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily bother so much with required minimum distributions because it shouldn't affect me from a tax standpoint.
Well, you have to at least take the required minimum
distribution. Well, that's what I mean. I'd almost rather just take the whole thing.
Oh, not me. I would want to let that try to grow as much tax-free so that $200,000, even after taking the RMDs 10 years, 15 years from now, is $500,000 of tax-free income.
Well, you hope.
Whatever the number
is. You don't know.
I hope I won't lose money in it over the next 20 years.
But the point is, you're not doing it for tax purposes.
Oh,
you're
yes,
doing it
I
more
am.
For growth purposes.
I'm doing it for tax-free growth purposes.
Right. But what I'm saying is the reason for not taking out, or for somebody not wanting to take out a traditional IRA,
is
required
a tax
minimum
issue.
Distribution, is because it could put you into a higher tax bracket. And it could hurt you from a tax standpoint.
I'll take that $200,000 Roth IRA that I inherited and try to find the highest potential income item I can find and create the best tax-free income that'll last for, you know, 30 years if I can make it last. All tax-free, which I can't do if I take it all out of the Roth right away.
Well, I suppose that's true. Okay. All right. But you know what I'm saying.
And that's
not
a problem because
a lot of people
will look at it that way and say, you know what, there's no tax consequence. Let me just pull it out. Just, you know,
well,
done.
Heck. You know what? A lot of them are saying, I don't care about the tax consequence. What,
well, they do that on the traditional
IRA. I have $150,000 coming to me in a traditional IRA. Oh, what? I got to pay, you know, $50,000 in taxes to get it, so now I got $100,000? Oh, poor me.
We have somebody that unfortunately happened to last year where they make a pretty good income. I mean, they're not in the 15% income tax bracket. And their spouse inherited an IRA from somebody and just cashed it out. And $48,000. Boom. And he found out about that a little later.
Yeah.
He's like,
and then, oh.
Oh, no.
Oops.
That's a lot of tax.
Sure.
And he happens to live in a state with an income tax as well.
But you know what? I mean, it's extra money. So you didn't get to keep as much of it as you wanted. All right. Big deal. All right. 877-PLANNER. We're going to take some of your emails. A couple more things to say on this. And, oh, that's right. REITs. A follow-up on that. When we come back, Puckett Strategy Investing.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com, that explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and address their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
You don't need an air-conditioned steering wheel or high-performance supercharger to use Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil. Now just $5.99 a quart at Napa. Mobil 1 offers premium protection for all cars, premium or not so premium. So give your ride Mobil 1 synthetic just $5.99 a quart, even if it doesn't have the latest technological stuff. That's Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 6/30/16.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. We're moving offices, and it's a giant pain in the...
Bubble roll?
What?
Well, Staples has bubble roll, packing tape, all kinds of boxes, everything you need to move, and all at low prices.
Great. That's a giant load off my...
Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, a six-pack of Scotch Move and Store Tape is $19. Staples. Make more happen. Offer ends 6/25/16.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, we're here till the top of the hour. So get your phone calls in. We'll get to some of these emails, as I said. A couple more things. I had a question also just within the last few minutes on trusts and RMDs, so we'll cover that with Professor Plum and some of these this stuff. Also on Rule 1502. Anyway, getting a backlog of topics, but we're going to continue taking your calls right now. Still two lines open, 877-PLANNER. PLANNER. Let's move along to Mike in Las Vegas up next. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good, good. Your show is great.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
I'm loving to watch from you guys. I have my wife, who's 66, has rolled over her 401k into what I believe is a traditional IRA. My question is, we've been negligent about looking at it, but I was wondering if it was good to roll it over into like a Roth IRA in the same.
Well, whether you roll a traditional IRA over to a Roth IRA is more of a tax consideration. The investments you can have identical. They've got a lot of similar traits as far as tax-free, tax-deferred. But it tax-free would be nice, but it's all at a matter of what cost to get it to the tax-free. Now, are you retired, Mike?
No, she is, though.
Okay, what's the household income look like right now?
Probably about, let's say I make about 60. She's retired, so she has to make under, so it's probably about 75.
Okay, but that includes the Social Security?
Well, no, maybe not. Social Security.
Okay, so you're in the high 15% bracket.
Yeah.
When you ultimately retire, what is the income going to look like then? Do you have a pension?
Yes, I'm going to have two pensions.
How much will they be?
Huh?
How much will they be?
Oh, I think 18 plus probably about 2,500.
Okay, so 2,500 a month, 30,000 a year. That's less than the 50,000 or 60,000 you're making now.
Right.
And so it may make sense to postpone doing some conversions, but right now, you're in a position where you have some room left in the 15% income tax bracket, from what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent we have room left in the 15% income tax bracket, I would look to start converting some amount of that IRA over to a Roth IRA. And okay. So if my taxable income after all my deductions and everything going is $55,000, that means I have about $20,000 worth of room in the 15% bracket. I could move $20,000 over and pay 15%. The reason I don't mind paying the 15% is you're going to pay the 15% someday anyway, no matter what. But at least this way, we're getting it over to the Roth, and any future growth on this money, future income, dividends, appreciation, will be potentially tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you leave it in the IRA and it grows, it'll be taxable income. And it also helps with the required minimum distributions for her down the line. Now, looking at this particular IRA and every other IRA or tax-deferred account in her name and every other tax-deferred account and IRA in your name, what is the total value of all IRAs, all tax-deferred accounts that you and your wife have created over the years?
All IRAs? Let's see.
Ballpark.
Roughly.
Yeah, well, that doesn't include annuities, right?
Not unless they're inside of an IRA.
Okay, no. I transferred my 401k into an annuity. I don't think it's an IRA.
That would be an IRA.
It would be an IRA.
If you didn't pay taxes on it, it's an IRA.
Okay. All right, so we're talking 185.
So, 200,000 300,000
No, it's about about 250.
Okay, so 250, you know, that creates a required minimum distribution of 10 or so. I think that it's going to do you a good job while you're in the 15% bracket, while you're working, and your wife's Social Security is already being taxed at the full extent, but only in the 15% bracket. Doing an additional, if you have room in the 15% bracket, doing some additional transfers from the traditional IRA to the Roth IRA and paying 15% on them. I think it's going to do you well in the future.
Okay. All right. Great. Also, when her birthday is like the end of September, so she'd have an RMD from both IRAs if I put some in the Roth. And
the Roth does not have a required minimum distribution.
Okay.
Only the traditional is going to have a required minimum distribution. All of her tax-deferred money or 401k from former employers is now in an IRA. Mm-hmm. So we have this IRA that we're going to start moving over to a Roth. By
right.
moving $20,000 a year, whatever the number is, it reduces the value of the IRA, builds up the value of the Roth. Reducing the value of the IRA reduces the ultimate required minimum distribution from that account, because while she's alive and while you're alive, assuming you're the beneficiary, there is no required minimum distribution from the Roth IRA.
Okay.
Now, doesn't mean you can't take money out, but you don't have to take any money out.
Right. So, and here, if she had an RMD here, it wouldn't be till she was 71, because you were saying if their birthday's like in September.
Right. So she'll take it out the year she turns 71.
71. Okay. All right. Great.
Does that help you out, Mike?
Yeah. Definitely. Thanks a lot.
Mike, thank you for the call. He's called before. Always good to hear from Mike. He asked some really good questions. Yeah, okay, so this goes back again to what we were talking about on the required minimum distributions. There is none on a Roth for the owner.
Right, and so she's 66 years old. Let's just say she's got $100,000 in her traditional IRA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, assuming that there's about $20,000 worth of room in the 15% bracket. They do 20. That brings the IRA down to 80, maybe a little bit of growth. They do another 20 when she's 67, brings it down to 60 plus some growth. 68 brings it down. 69 brings it down. Even when in the year she turns 70, because she doesn't turn 70 and a half in the same year, they could potentially convert this entire thing over to a Roth IRA between now. And we're just, you know, speculating on this, but they could potentially move it over so they don't have any required minimum distribution, at least not from her account. Then we just have to worry about his accounts.
Yeah. Now, you know, a lot of people get concerned about required minimum distributions. They get a little freaky
antsy
about it. Yeah. And that's you know, it's really not something that people should necessarily be all that concerned about. I mean, they have to do it,
right,
and it's something you have to pay attention to, but it's not the end of the world.
The people that it affects the most are the people that don't need any money from their portfolio. Those people, you know, people that have large pensions, good Social Security. They have enough money coming in from other sources that they don't need to take any money out of the IRA. Now, when I'm talking about other sources, I'm not talking about taking interest in dividends and distributions from my personal investment portfolio, because if I have a personal portfolio that's creating interest in dividends and I'm using that to live off of, I think you're probably doing it wrong. You should switch that interest-bearing investment somehow, you know, sell it in your personal account, buy it in your IRA, so that it stunts the growth of the IRA, and that interest can help satisfy some, if not all, of the required minimum distribution from the IRA, and let the personal money grow more. So it's all a matter of, that's a tax location question. How do we create efficient use? And maybe take the portfolio that's creating the income that we need to live, put it in the IRA, which is creating the income we need to live and satisfying the required minimum distribution, rather than using the personal portfolio as the income generating asset to give us the income we need to live and then have to take a required minimum distribution
on top of that. Yeah.
So we can use the same investment to satisfy the RMD rather than being in addition to the RMD. So that's the type of planning that you need to look at from the RMD standpoint. But most of the time, many people that are retired, whether they have very large IRAs or not, they're already taking distributions from their IRAs that satisfy the RMD, because they need the money. I mean,
right.
Most of your money's in an IRA. You need to draw down 4 or 5% or more to be able to live and meet your bills. Hey, that satisfies the RMD.
That's right. And you take it out any time of the year. Now, here's something that people get a little out of sorts about, and this is the thing that Congress got wrong, too. And we're talking about people who really don't need the money, but they have to take the money out of their IRA.
Right.
They believe that, well, I've got $100,000 in this IRA. Well, I have to take $4,000 out. Now I got to start selling off stocks that are inside this IRA.
Nope. You do not have to sell anything to do the required minimum distribution. And back in 2009, Congress said, well, we don't want you to have to sell anything into this down market, so we're going to suspend required minimum distributions for this year. Well, that only affected people that did not need the money. The people that needed the money, they had to pretty much sell no matter what. But if you didn't need the money, suspending the RMD for 1 year didn't do you much, except for it gave you 1 year that you didn't have to pay taxes. But what it did do, and this is where I think Congress is more Machiavellian than I think we give them credit for.
As in they had
an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
They wanted that IRA to grow more. They wanted to not, so that they could get more tax dollars in the future. But that, you don't have to sell anything in the IRA to create the required minimum distribution. You just have to move money from your account, the IRA account, mm-hmm. to your personal account. Now, when you move money, that didn't say sell it. You could actually tell your IRA custodian, transfer X number of shares, which total value is more than my required minimum distribution, mm-hmm. from my IRA brokerage account to my personal brokerage account.
That's all it is. That's all it is. It's got to show up on your tax return, and you pay taxes on it. Once it's done, you can leave it. I mean, you can have exact same investment. Important points. Okay, 877-PLANNER, trivia, more topics tomorrow, and emails and phone calls when we come back. 877-PLANNER. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr. on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take the spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
This Father's Day, get your dad the gift of music at Guitar Center. With a Williams 88-key digital piano for just $169, a Mapex piccolo snare, or a Cordoba ukulele, your choice, just $49. Get a 5-pack of Hohner harmonicas for just $15. Or get a free $10 promo e-gift card with every $50 Guitar Center e-gift card you buy from now until June 18th. For terms and conditions, go to guitarcenter.com. This Father's Day, celebrate the musician you call dad at Guitar Center, in-store or online.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger. for the ones who get it done.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your money, retirement strategies. It's all coming up. Hey! And coming up tomorrow on this program. Boy, it's been a lively discussion today on both required minimum distributions and a bunch of other stuff. But coming up tomorrow on this show, here's another hot topic for you, and it has to do with lifetime income. How do you create lifetime income? One of the biggest fears, according to all polls, or concerns that retirees have is what? It is running out of money before you run out of time, outliving your income. And it's the reason that we save as much as we save. Well, what if you could take some of that, what if you could take some of that money that you've saved and at least perhaps buy something along the lines of a pension? You can do so. Pensions don't really exist like they, certainly not like they used to. Years ago.
At least not for everybody.
No. Well, I mean, even, you know, some are excellent. There are some that have very, very good pensions. But even those are not like how they used to be. Because years ago, companies that provided a pension, I've done a little bit of research on this. They weren't necessarily, you know, anything you could live off of. And in many cases, they weren't guaranteed either.
Well, no, the rules, they didn't even fund it until you actually, and they were just basically funding the pensions out of ongoing profits. So if the business went out of business, the pension went out of business.
Your pension went away. So
in that was old days.
Yes, that's what I mean. So in that regard, pensions today, I mean, they're actually better, but a lot fewer people have them. So how do you create lifetime income? And I'm talking about guaranteed lifetime income. There are different ways to do that. And remember, the guaranteed lifetime income is a foundation, whether it's Social Security or a pension or something that you may have bought through, say, an insurance company, a foundation for your retirement strategy, your retirement plan. Once you know how much guaranteed income you have, it can actually take some of the pressure off the rest of your portfolio. So we will talk about that tomorrow on this program with Professor Plum and you. Okay, trivia. We did not get to trivia yesterday. We had too many calls. So today we're doing this one. This comes from a couple of guys.
A couple of guys. A
couple of Wolverines, if you know what I mean.
Guys.
These are a couple of guys walking around the University of Michigan there. It's Frank Stafford, who I probably talked like this, and Bing Chen. So these two folks say this. They said this in unison, in fact. 90% of the richest 10% of American taxpayers, all right? So most of the richest people, based on AGI, own stocks. Only 25% of American taxpayers in the bottom 40% of income earners own stocks. Thus, they say, when stock values rise, the richest Americans have benefited disproportionately when compared to lower income Americans. So, I mean, this is fairly obvious. Those with more money, more income, more money to invest,
more money to save,
and more money to save,
when the market goes up,
because they've got more money in it, they're going to get more money out of it.
And on the other side, when the market goes down, they disproportionately lose money quicker than other people.
Exactly.
But they don't talk about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm in Las Vegas and I'm a high stakes, you know, $5,000 a hand or something, and I win a few hands, I'm probably going to walk away with a whole lot more money than somebody who's doing the $5 hand or the $25 hands, right?
Well, I think from what I've seen of Vegas, both of you walk away with nothing.
Well, that's another way to look at it, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, if you happen to be a winner.
Yes.
And you know, folks with more money also lose.
Right. But this has been something for years. The people that have if you have to have an income right now, you can't be as picky about the types of work that you get, whereas somebody who has some type of a background or some kind of an income from their parents or some other source, they can take more chances in life and maybe make some money, maybe be a little bit more entrepreneurial and create the business, whereas somebody who's just barely getting by, who needs that income, can't take the job opportunities the same way.
No, exactly. There are all kinds of problems created rich,
without having money.
Exactly. Rich people don't have that poor people do have, and it's just the fact. That's the way it is. All right, let's get to Betty in Penn Valley, California. This year, I have sold an appreciated property and 1031 exchanged it into four properties in Nevada. How do I assign the base price of the relinquished property to the new properties? Can I choose, or are there specific rules? Now, we don't have a lot of time to talk about 1031s in case people don't know what we're talking about.
But just quickly, a 1031 is where you can defer the taxable event on the sale of a property if you buy another property, in this case four properties, within a certain time frame. And what you do is you transfer the basis of the original property into the new. Usually it's just done on a one property for one property, but she decided to go one big property into four different properties. And you can't do that. Normally, we talk about you have to identify up to three, but that has to do with identifying fairly equal value properties. You can identify a lot more than three as long as all the properties in total that you identify when you go past three doesn't exceed something like 200% of the original property. So you can go from one property to multiples, or you can go from multiples to one. Timing is an issue on those. So what do you do with the basis? You're going to, and yes, there are rules. You can't apply 100% of the basis to one property and then a couple years down the line sell that one property because it's got all the basis and all the gain is in other properties. There is it's basically a pro rata distribution. So if every property is the same value, if you went from a $400,000 down to four $100,000 properties, everyone's going to get the same. But if you went from $1 million into one that's $400,000 into one that's $300,000, and you know, down the line, where they total up to $1 million, the basis is proportionally going to go across to each one, so that you have the same amount of gain and loss relationship in each property that you had in the original one that you sold.
Yeah.
And how do you account for it? You get a good accountant to help you with all this.
People who love numbers will love to do this.
And not just people who love numbers, but people who love numbers and know the rules about accounting for 1031 exchanges with multiple properties.
You have to put, in order to exchange it, you have to exchange it into a property of equal or greater than value and equal or greater than debt.
Yep. And you have certain time horizons. You must identify the properties within 45 days of close of escrow of the original property.
And 180 days.
Close. Now, but there's some different timing on that, depending upon whether you sold it at the end of the year or the beginning of the year.
Oh,
you may shorten your time horizon if you do it at the wrong time.
That's true. And when you, if you're just exchanging into one property,
it's a lot easier.
It's fairly clean. Yeah. I mean, you know what the rules are. But as you're doing her case, I mean, it's going across four properties, a lot more accounting involved.
You're going to want to get some expert advice in this area. And that's not me. I know the general rules,
but the accounting part of it.
Specific rules person on this.
There's somebody who goes in and actually does the numbers and looks at them and keeps track of them. That's why those people exist, all
and
right?
And they are worth what you pay them when they do this for
just
you.
Just like we're worth this because we know the broad rules. Okay, if you need the Brain Trust off the air and you want to talk to Professor Rick Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors about your specific situation or anything we talked about on this program, call them at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. 1150. We're out of time. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.